Hey, it's the Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Craig Miller, Director of Star Wars Fan Relations, and you are listening to Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Columbo, I'm going to throw you out of here on your ear.
I mean, you'll miss the best part.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, GFG on Mike, and joining me once again, as always, is that good old detective, Dave Draper. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am well. These episodes were interesting between this one and the one we'll talk about next time, but
I really like the second one. This one's good. They're all good, but like,
yeah,
the second one's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And this one actually had a big moment for me. I was very happy. Can you guess?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll mention it.
Yeah, you'll mention it in a minute. We are continuing along the journey as we started last year in 2024, so join us as we put our detective hats on and jump back in time with Columbo. These are the Columbo Files Inside Studio 2009, and we are starting at the beginning, as always, and going in order. 2BTV, main resource, unless you have the DVDs. And today is Season 2, Episode 3, and we are watching The Most Crucial Game.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Which, you know, this definitely indicates that Columbo is a fantasy because Los Angeles has a football team. Although I think they have the Rams. I get confused.
The Raiders.
No, the Rams. They had the Rams, and then they gave that to St. Louis, and then St. Louis had to sell it back. I don't know. I'm confused. But these are the Rockets. It is actually the footage of the football teams is from the first Super Bowl.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Los Angeles Coliseum shots from the beginning of the show are from the 15th. And it's also my birthday. The 15th January, Yay. 1967, AFL-NFL World Championship game, renamed Super Bowl I after the term was coined in 1969. Kansas City Chiefs graphics painted on the end zone, and some of the Chiefs cheerleaders can be seen. So, and that can be seen prominently. There's a lot of shots of that cheerleader doing a flip.
Yes, there is. And I'm laughing, folks, because of the fact that it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And yeah, no.
I want to see that anymore. I don't know what we're allowed to say and not say anymore.
It's just that the current day in 2025, the Kansas City Chiefs are Chiefs. Wow.
Chiefs.
That's new terminology for that team. They are trying for a three-peat, and everything's all Mahomes this and Mahomes that and whatever else. And the best thing I've seen is the return scene in Endgame when everybody comes back, and the Chiefs are Thanos, and everybody comes back, and everybody is every other team in the NFL that wants to fight Thanos, and essentially the Bills are Tony, and oh, God, yeah, no. Go Buffalo Bills. Let's go.
I don't. Like, I haven't followed sports ball in a while. Like, because I'm a Bears fan, so, I mean, what's the point? What's the point?
The worst part is,
they've had plenty of seasons where they start kind of good, and then they get about four games in, and then they just collapse. If you haven't gone to the Super Bowl and just folded like a lawn chair, and it's just like, why bother?
They just got to find the next Walter Payton, man. They just got to find the next...
They just got to find the next anybody.
And all I can remember about the Bears is the 85 game.
Yeah, because that was the one we won.
Yeah.
And we had the Super Bowl shuffle. And one thing that no other team can claim, not even the filthy Green Bay Packers, the Packers don't have a G.I. Joe.
No, they don't.
Bears do.
Yeah, the Bears do. That's right. Okay, folks. So,
sorry, I've gone off on a tangent. No, I apologize. No, but I mean, it was interesting to me to find out where they – that's like 67 to 73. That's like 6 years. I mean, that footage looks old, too. It looks
it's very old. Yeah.
But I mean, in context of the episode, it doesn't match the film quality of the episode.
No.
It is surplus NFL footage.
Yeah.
Right? AFC footage. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was also interesting, like, because the whole reason I actually started looking things up is I I remember the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles. But I don't. I apparently they had it before then too, because I mean that Coliseum has the Olympic symbol.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume Los Angeles had the Olympics at some point before then. But I don't. I'm not an Olympic scholar. I don't know. I just remember the 84 Olympics vaguely.
Vaguely, yeah.
I was 13, but I mean, it was like the one time I was really, because it was in America and like the Soviet Union wasn't there, so we were really dominating, and you could watch it during the day, and you could watch it on one network as opposed to like, I don't know what nightmare packages they do these days with all this nonsense. I have really tuned out on the Olympics. In fact, it was like, oh yeah, we just had one. The only reason I remember that is because the Australian breakdancer lady.
Right. Okay, so before 1984,
yes,
which was the big one, for us, it was Los Angeles was the big one. Before that, in 1980, they were in Lake Placid.
Well, that was the Winter Olympics. 1980 was the one
right,
in Russia, skipped it because of Afghanistan.
Right. No. I understand.
Ironically.
This list is just all of them. It's not. It's just all the city the Olympics has been in. It's not separating them from summer or winter. So just to say that the Olympics in general in the United States before 1984, Lake Placid, Squaw Valley in 1960, and then the 1932 was both in Lake Placid and Los Angeles. So,
okay, so that was probably the one that they built the Memorial Coliseum for.
Probably, yeah. Because before that...
Los Angeles has hosted the Olympics twice before in 32 and 84.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
Yeah.
Apparently they're doing it in 28.
Yeah, but what's most interesting to me scrolling up this list as the years, you know, go older and older and older, the very first North American Summer Olympics, Summer Olympics 3... on July 1st, 1904, were held in St. Louis, Missouri.
I believe it.
Well, it's right here on the thing. So.
I know, but what I'm saying is there was a time when America was more than Los Angeles.
Oh, true.
Which apparently seems to be the only city that can get the Olympics these days.
Oh, well, there was that time in 1996 with Atlanta.
But that had a whole thing.
Yeah, that had a whole thing. Salt Lake City got them in 2002.
That was those. Winter doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
Shaking my fist. Winter doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I have spoken.
Wow. Yeah, it's basically Los Angeles and Salt Lake.
People listening is like, isn't this the podcast about a dude in a trench coat who solves crimes?
It is, except for the fact I knew sports was going to come up in this podcast.
Why because, hello,
it's the most crucial game. Yeah, exactly. It's the most crucial. When I saw that episode title, before I even read anything about the episode, before I even looked at the episode itself, I'm like, oh my God, this is essentially the Rudy of Colombo. Great. Gotcha.
Well, I mean.
I'm saying, because it's football.
Aside from having, like, in no way, shape, or form, story structure or.
No. I'm just saying because of the football and how old it looks. That's all.
Yeah.
It's old.
Okay.
So, yeah, Paul Hanlon, played by Robert Culp. So, Robert's back.
He's back, yeah. This is also, there are two repeat actors in this episode. And apparently Stockwell will appear again.
Yay.
According to my IMDb trivia.
Hopefully he's not another dead character.
I think he's the murderer. I got to look that up. I'll look it up. You go on.
So, yeah, we got Paul Hanlon, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rockets football team, wants to create a sports empire. But Eric Wagner, played by Dean Stockwell, who inherited the team, lacks ambition, and Hanlon sneaks out of the stadium as the ice cream truck dude who basically ignores a kid on the cliff of Dover or wherever the hell he's driving up to.
You know, that's actually that house is the same one used in Murder by the Book. It was nice. The house of Ken Franklin.
Yeah, very awesome. I figured they would reuse sets. That
particular house was used repeatedly in various Universal productions, including Quincy and several of the Rockford Files.
Yay, very awesome, very awesome.
IMDb trivia.
Yay. And I know, folks, probably everybody knows this, but it's just what we do around here. So he drives to a payphone near Wagner's home to try to fake a call, and he brings brings the radio, the portable radio with him to fake that he's still in his office and everything else. And then he goes up to Hanlon's house and he kills him. Man, that sucks. Dean's a pretty good swimmer, though.
Yeah. Until he gets clunked on the head with a piece of ice.
I have real issues with that piece of ice as the murder weapon.
Really?
This is Los Angeles, right?
This will come. I have another issue, but this isn't quite it yet. Yeah, go on.
Okay. This is Los Angeles.
It is an ice cream truck, to be fair.
Yeah, no. I understand that, but this is Los Angeles, right? This is supposed.
Yeah. No. I'm with you.
Let's say it's supposed to be like the fall in Los Angeles or something
because it's football season.
Because it's football season. It's not summer, so I'm not going to say that it's summer. Let's say it's fall, almost winter. But even fall, almost winter in LA, it's going to be 70 degrees, 60, 70, 75, something like that. There's no way that piece of ice is going to stay in his hand from the time that he gets out of the truck to the time that he gets to Eric in the pool. No way that stays as a hard, blunt object.
It was to be fair, it was a pretty big chunk of ice.
It was, but I'm just saying in the Los Angeles, I don't know. And I know that I'm just nitpicking this, but
because I was going to point out, and it's not in my IMDb trivia. It must have been somewhere else when I was doing my initial looking up. Is there's this whole plot thing about he washes the deck of the pool with a hose?
Yes,
for some reason. I never quite, like, because he didn't want his sneaker prints or something? I don't know.
Yeah. So,
but Columbo notices the water and tastes it and notices and it's fresh, but
water, not salt.
People have done the math, Uber nerds, and basically there's no way that water would not have evaporated in the Los Angeles sun, like you were saying, for as long as it would have taken for the body to be discovered and people to come out and blah, blah, blah.
That's
a bigger plot point to me than the – because the ice is a pretty solid chunk of ice, and he drove it there in a ice cream truck. I mean,
yeah, and that's the other thing about, like, my actual first note is when I started taking notes at the beginning of the episode, in all caps. I understand he was trying to get rid of his wet footprints from his shoes from spraying the pool deck down.
Yes.
But there's no way the way he was spraying that hose. No way his socks would have stayed dry. He would have had wet frickin' socks. I'm sitting here thinking, dude, you should have took both your shoes and your socks off. You'd have wet feet, but at least it. My eyes started twitching.
So you kind of quickly ran through the synopsis, but like what I got hung up on was like just literally the why of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did he need to, because usually they establish that the person gets something from the murder.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the whole thing is Wagner's dad had a vision of having a sports empire.
Right.
And Wagner Jr. is kind of a schmuck. He's a rich kid who's he's the second generation that's going to blow all the money. But he's going along with everything Hanlon wants. Like, he's going to go fly to whatever to Canada and look at a hockey team, which he doesn't want. He's doing what he's being told to do. He's got a little bit of an attitude about it. But like what does Hanlon get? Do they ever establish what he actually gets by Wagner being out of the way?
He supposedly takes over. Like, he's already the general manager. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. That's another thing. That's the other thing.
If anything, like the new person who comes in and takes over everything, like you're more likely to get fired in that scenario than particularly because it's pretty established that the football team's woeful. The Rockets keep losing. Like they get sacked and they. It's a pretty bad. Like I almost looked up the old G.I. Joe thing where it's too bad your ass got sacked. I was hoping I missed something somewhere that established why the kid had to die. I say kid because he's a young man, but
still, it's one of those things where I was the same way. I'm like, okay, but what's the point here? What's going on that you need? Like you've already said, Dean Stockwell's character going over and going through everything that Hanlon wants, except he's not getting up off his ass out of his pool to go meet him to go to Montreal or something, right? He's not moving fast.
Yeah, he's lazy. But all Hanlon has to do is kind of jerk that whole your dad's dream thing and He does it. I don't know. It's like usually there's a reason. This felt like the thinnest reason to murder somebody in I think any of the ones we've seen.
Yeah, very much so. I wasn't even sure where this was gonna go. Like I was like, okay, so the most crucial game, it's not gonna have anything to do with the actual game itself because it's more focused on the owner and the background.
Well, sort of did. No, didn't it?
Okay, yes, it did, but. Just saying, when it first started playing, I'm usually within like 5-10 minutes of these 90-minute long episodes, we usually either see the killer or the victim, and we see a reason that the victim is going to get killed, or we see a reason why the killer wants to kill the victim. And in this one, we don't see a reason. I don't think I missed it.
Yeah, I agree.
You missed it. I don't think it's there.
Yeah, it felt weird and thin. However, we did get, as Columbo was investigating, he ended up stepping in the pool a little bit, and we got my line finally. It's been one season and three episodes, but we finally got. Where'd you get those shoes?
Because
but weirdly, it was like there was an actual like motive for it, which I always just thought he like randomly asked people about their shoes.
Yeah. Well.
I know it comes back. It comes back at least once. So we finally got to me, the perfect Columbo episode is going to have the dog. It's going to have where you get those shoes, and he's going to defend his car by saying it's French.
And the wife. Speaking of the wife.
All of them.
Okay, yeah, but this one?
He mentions her. He mentions that she gets annoyed that he focuses on the game.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't write down what the third one was, but annoyed with the game. The first one he mentions is that she went bowling. Second one, he mentions the ice cream complaints. And then the third one, I forget what it was. But literally, there were three my wives in this episode. I was like, oh, that's really cool. The other thing, the equipment. Lieutenant, my equipment, the sound equipment that Columbo basically
holds hostage. Okay, yeah, we're skipping over elements of the actual plot. So it's established, the whole thing is there's a lawyer who works for Wagner who hires, this gets a little Byzantine for as simple as it is, hires a private eye who hires basically a prostitute to go undercover into Hanlon's office and plant bugs.
Yep.
Now, Hanlon is aware of that, and that's why he does the thing with the radio and the payphone.
Yeah.
Because he knows it's being recorded, and he wants to establish, hey, here's this call of me in my office listening to the game. He's using that as an alibi. And then, of course, Columbo keeps the – well, Columbo finds out that was a neat part because, like, at one point, like, somebody's got the radio on and the phone rings. And then you get this weird, annoying noise. And I was like, is that something with my – for a minute, I was like, is there something wrong with my DVD? Is there a problem? And then it goes away when the phone call hangs up. And Columbo knows that that's, like, a feedback thing because of a badly installed bug. So he gets the guy's the privatized sound equipment and his license too. He won't give the license back either.
Nope.
So just wanted to establish for the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just season one is the building season. Like we've already said in that season in those episodes where we get various parts of the Columbo character and then in a couple of episodes we have the full character. This season, after these two episodes, I have no idea what to expect out of this show at this point. Because that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because I was not expecting Columbo to do a football murder mystery. And then next time when we do the next episode, I was not expecting Columbo to go to London to learn their police tactics.
That becomes I know there's one other Columbo outside of Los Angeles episode.
Okay.
That's the one with Ricardo Montalban.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
That's also the one that I will argue, because there's always this thing about is Columbo's wife real?
Right.
That is the one I think provides the most solid proof that she's a real person.
Yeah.
Because other people on the ship have seen her and interacted with her.
Yes. Robert Culp. Man, so this dude is essentially Columbo's Joker. I'm serious.
No. I'm laughing because we haven't gotten to Patrick McGoohan yet.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying so far out of like
so far. Yeah. Oh, I'll give you Riddler or Penguin. He's a mainstay.
Yeah. I mean, he gets three or four episodes.
I think he gets three. McGoohan gets three in the NBC series and one of the ABC series. I think he's got four.
Okay. But like the whole time I was watching Paul Hanlon, I'm like, that's just what's his name?
The other guy from the other episode.
Yeah, that's just him with a bad mustache put on his face.
A fine 70s mustache, sir.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I thought this was fun. The whole thing with the prostitute, with Eve Babcock and everything.
It was Valerie Perrine, who became a TV staple like in the late 70s and 80s.
Wait, what did you call her?
Valerie Perrine, I believe?
Valerie Harper.
No, Valerie Harper's a different woman, I think. Hang on.
Make it appear ancient. Complicating matters is Eve Babcock, played by Valerie Harper.
You're right. I'm getting my Valeries confused. Okay.
No, it's fine. Well, when I saw her name, I was like...
tied to my belt, as was the fashion at the time.
Well, when I saw her name, the first thing I thought of was something else, but she is Rhoda Morgenstern on the Mary Tyler Moore Show from 70 to 71.
And then didn't she get her own... She got her own spinoff, right?
Yeah. I think so.
With Carlton and Your Doorman.
Yep.
Yeah, Rhoda. Yeah.
Yeah, Rhoda. All right. What? Anything else with the plot that we need to bring up or we need to go through?
This one, like, it was weird. It was like the one we're going to talk about after this in the next episode felt like it went, like, it didn't feel like a drag, but it felt like it was really long. And this one felt like it went really fast. I don't know if that's because I spent a lot of time, you know, looking up this stuff about the football team or, but it did. It felt like just boom, boom, boom. Everything happened really, really fast. And well, and then of course the resolution, which we haven't gotten to is, it's kind of a variation of the classic Sherlock Holmes, the dog that didn't bark.
Yep.
Because the whole thing is he's looking for a sound that's out of place. And then somebody says something to him and he clicks and he realizes that what he should be listening for is Hanlon has a clock, a fancy schmancy clock that goes off every hour. Yep. And that's when you said it wasn't about football, I was like, well, it is kind of about the game. Because at the time he makes the call, the clock should have gone off. And it doesn't because he's not in his office. And that's how he gets.
That's how Columbo gets him. Yeah. No, what I mean about how it's not really about...
Well, I know. I was just...
Yeah, but like, when I say it's not about football, I don't mean it's not about the over... Like, yeah, it's absolutely about football. I mean, the dude is the general manager of the damn team. It's about the behind the scenes of football. It's not about how somehow the quarterback ducked out in between quarters and killed somebody. That's what I mean, where it's not about specifically a football player type of plot. It's about the people that run the team and are in charge and whatever. But no, I had fun. I think they both went fast, but in the one we'll talk about next time, Dagger of the Mind, my fascination was more about Columbo, I'll say all this next time, but my fascination in that episode was more about Columbo himself than anything else, because that has so many, like, I took like six screenshots from the fourth episode of the second season. Wow.
No. I mean,
you know,
that was not a facetious wow. That was wow.
But this one, the most crucial game again.
A couple little details. The coach, I think I mentioned this at the beginning. The coach was the victim in the Roddy McDowell episode.
Nice.
So he was the second. There were two repeat. Actors. Yeah. He was the guy that got blown up by the cigars.
Yeah.
I think his name is Victor Gerber, but I've already screwed up Valerie Harper's name. So
James Gregory was the actor.
James Gregory. Okay. See, there you go. I'm batting 1,000 here.
It's okay.
And the other thing is, I'm not going to name any names because screw me. But when they're at the gym and they're watching the basketball players, those are actually Lakers. Those are actually LA Lakers playing basketball.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I dug this one. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. What I'm liking so far with this episode, the next episode, is they're not your traditional murder mysteries where it's not like what we had last season where it's like, and I'm sure we'll get this in the future whenever, but like, oh, my mistress this or my mistress that, or this guy was this business guy or this guy was this writer guy and his partner killing. These two episodes specifically, this episode of The Most Truthful Game and then the next one, The Dagger of the Mind, I like seeing Columbo in different instances with how that goes. But actors in this, like we mentioned James Gregory, I'm kind of looking through his stuff and I don't he was in Alfred Hitchcock Presents. He was in Twilight Zone.
I believe it.
He would... Well, I'm looking right at him. He was in Wagon Train in 1960 as Ricky Bell. Let's see. He was in... I'm trying to find something more sort of recent.
Well, I don't think you're...
No, I don't mean recent like now. No. I don't... So, okay. Well, the guy... He was active from 1939 to 1998. He passed away in 2002 at the age of 90. Yeesh. But I mean, what I mean is more recent is like after the 1960s. I will say he was in a couple episodes of Bonanza. Is Star Trek on here. Star Trek, the original series. He played Dr. Yeah. Tristan Adams in season 1, episode 9. Wait, what? No.
What? Do you know what the title of that is? Can you?
Yes, I do. The group? I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, wait, what? Why? Why did they do that?
Nobody knows what you're talking about unless they're huge.
I know.
Star Trek nerd than me, so.
No, I'm not. That's the problem. So.
You're making me look this shit up because telling me anything.
I'm telling you.
No, you're not.
The original series, 1966, yes. He played Dr. Tristan Adams in season 1, episode 9, Dagger of the Mind.
Okay, that's ironic. That's amusingly ironic.
Yeah.
Because the next Columbo episode is Dagger of the Mind.
That's why I'm like, wait, what? I literally had to roll over
That's less... I think that's less of a shock than you would think because anything that ever has Macbeth, any TV show that references Macbeth is probably going to be – that's probably a very common episode title for Macbeth-themed. I've now said it 3 times, so this podcast is cursed. Stop it. The Scottish play.
It's fine. He was in episode of Mission Impossible. He did a lot of cool stuff in his career. Yeah, well,
Robert Culp was in Greatest American Hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we already talked about Robert Culp last time. Maybe we'll talk about him in the future. The big one here for this episode, folks, though, is Mr. Dean Stockwell. I love Dean Stockwell. He's such a cool dude. Again, not to bring anything down, but his active acting was 1945 to 2015. Born in 36, passed in 21. However, his filmography is like the youngest I ever saw him was he was in one of the Thin Man movies. He's in, I think it's Song of the Thin Man.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember here, folks.
I want to add a correction because my stupid ass got Star Trek episodes mixed up. That's the one with the insane asylum. Not the one where Kirk confronts the guy who Kodos. Kirk confronts Kodos, the guy who murdered his colony that he grew up on. He and brother Sam apparently survived through, although Sam didn't make it much longer because Sam got killed by flying fried eggs in that one episode where Spock goes blind.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched Star Trek. I do know Star Trek. I have watched Star Trek. I just got 2 episodes confused. The one with James Gregory is the one with the Andorian with the fuzzy pink
very cool
thing. And yep. I think Yvonne Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wait, no, wait. God damn. I might be getting that one wrong, too, because I think that's a season three episode. What the hell is Tag on the Mind? Too many Star Treks.
Yes, too many Star Treks. Too many daggers, too many minds. So Dean Stockwell, the youngest I ever saw him was when he was a kid in 1947's Song of the Thin Man. He was billed fourth in that movie, son of William Powell and Myrna Loy's characters. He had later gone on to say, I have very positive feelings regarding both of them. They were very sweet people, especially Myrna Loy. And that cute little dog, Asta. I like that little dog. Dean, obviously, before people, you know, come after me and like, how are you not mentioning this? How are you not mentioning that? Obviously, Al in Quantum Leap. He was in Miami Vice. He was in Murder, She Wrote. But really... for me, the one big thing, not big, but the one thing that I always remember him for is he was the voice of the older Tim Drake in Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker.
Return of the Joker. Yeah, he was.
You're which right. is 25 years old this year.
Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. I did you mention Dune?
No, I did not mention
he Dune. Was Dr. Yue in the David Lynch, who R.I.P. pour one out. Dune, and he was in Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm. You I said Quantum Leap. Was, he was.
I'm
was
desperately out. Trying to figure out this episode of Star Trek is driving me crazy.
Seriously?
Yes. Really?
Is it really that bad?
Yes. I don't. Because I remember the uniforms, like because they did a whole thing in South Park with these guys and with the planetarium. It's like, what is this episode?
Yeah. In the episode, the Enterprise visits a rehabilitation.
It doesn't mean anything because the one I'm getting confused with, they also do that.
Okay. Dr. Adams complains that Calder sent it to. What's going to get you to. Here, I'll just do this.
Apparently, nothing.
This is, yeah. I don't know.
I'm despairing.
I don't know if this is going to help, but here's the.
I am seeing my. I cannot clean my hands. Before me.
That's funny. But yeah, anytime I see Dean Stockwell in anything, I absolutely love it. I think it's so cool and so great. I love that guy. He was such a great actor.
He was a very good actor. Yeah.
Yes, he was. Absolutely.
Okay, the episode I keep getting it mixed up with is Whom Gods Destroy.
Okay.
Which is the one with Yvonne Craig, and it's the one with the Andorian and the pink fluffy thing. Which is another one where they go to a freaking insane asylum. The 23rd century is a utopia, except it's like littered with insane asylums.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Anyway, I apologize for completely going off on a tangent on that one.
No.
I'm just okay. What is this damn episode? Like, when we're done, I will probably break out the DVDs
and watch the episode. Watch
this damn episode. Because I remember the name because they used the name in the South Park episode too, Van Gelder, and they have that little sunshine emblem thing, and I don't remember what happens in the episode. What?
I don't know what to tell you.
That'd be crazy. I have no idea how much it is bothering me to no end.
And again, just the way that Columbo is in this episode, especially the sound equipment thing with the... I love that. That's hilarious.
But it also, like, it's interesting because this one and the next one...
Mm-hmm.
Also, so like, because there's always this question, or I think there's always this question about like whether Columbo is acting, or whether he's really kind of like that. You know what I mean? Whether he's a really kind of smart, reserved guy who's putting on a play for people, or whether Columbo's really like that. And I think this one and the next one kind of establish no, Columbo's really like because like the whole, particularly early on, he's constantly listening to the football game. He's constantly like distracted, you know, like even when he's not like playing with a suspect.
Yeah.
He's distracted and rambling and doing other things.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then you get the scene with the sound guy and he you know, he does know he's in control and he does kind of play around with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the way he actually is. I don't think act because if it was an act, he would have to flamboyant.
People overanalyze everything. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, there's a debate. There was James Lipton asked him if Columbo's wife was real.
Yep, I don't remember what he said, but I always like to think she's real.
No, oh no. When we get to that one episode, it's pretty. She's real. Whether all the nieces and nephews are real,
yeah,
it's a little more questionable. Although, again, there is an episode, Friend Indeed, kind of theoretically establishes that he has a bunch of nieces and nephews, but whether or not they're all into like you know all the various things that they're you know. Kind of like Jessica Fletcher with her billion nieces and nephews, except you actually see those.
Yep.
But it does seem to push things a little bit that, you know, all the various interests that the nieces and nephews get into.
Yep. Absolutely. I very much enjoyed this one. I thought it was fun. And yeah, absolutely. It's just one of those episodes that just, again, it's Columbo sort of, it's placing him in these situations that you would never think he would be in. And I think this is one of them. But he's really interested in that game. He wants to know the like he's agonizing over that game. Yeah. Every time he's listening to it, and he even mentions to Hanlon, you know, every time I'm talking to you, you turn the game down. And then you turn it off.
That's a neat little detail, yeah. No, he turns it off when he's acute when he brings up that Hanlon's he turns it off when Columbo specifically mentions a piece of evidence that connects him to the murderer.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because he wants to pay attention.
Yeah. Yes, because...
Give it his full attention.
Yeah, because Hanlon in general does not give two craps about Columbo.
No. I mean, that's part of the Columbo thing is people tend to underestimate him pretty early on and then eventually figure out that he's dangerous. Which I like that most of the bad guys eventually do figure it out as opposed to being kind of clueless the whole way through. Like even in the first episode, like the doctor said, oh, you do this little shaggy dog routine, but you're really kind of you're sharper than you appear, which is why I brought up the whole thing about him kind of playing up the ditzy. And in that one, he wasn't even that shaggy dog.
Yep.
He's much more straightforward. In Prescription Murder, he was much more straightforward. But, like, you know, I like that they kind of – it becomes, like – it's almost a little too late for them, but they do sort of, like, kind of get his range, get his number eventually. As opposed to being clueless, because then that wouldn't be – it wouldn't really be a battle of wits if they just were completely underestimating him the whole way through, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else on the crucial game, the most crucial game, I should say?
No, I think this was a solid episode. It was a fun episode.
Yeah. What are you going to give it, 0 to 5?
Give it a 4.
Yep. Yeah, I'm right there with you, 4 out of 5.
So. I kind of want to give it a 4.5 because it's got the line about the shoes, but... that's just a me thing. I was just so happy because I was like, I didn't imagine that, did I? I didn't make that up that he's constantly going on about shoes.
No, you didn't make it up. Yeah, I would say the 4 fits it very well because part of 4.5, the first line of the description is top of the class. This isn't a bad episode, but this is probably not one of the episodes that I would go back and watch.
Want to
watch a Columbo. So I would say 4 out of 5 is more than acceptable. Because it was a really fun, sort of fast-paced episode. It didn't drag, but neither did the other one. Neither did the next one that we're going to talk about either. I think both of them are very fairly well-paced.
I guess my only major criticism is the fact that the motive is very...
Yeah, that's the biggest issue.
Murky.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue is the motive. Like, what's going on with that?
Because there was a whole thing about the wife, and she comes in, and that's why it felt like – I said it felt fast because I sort of vaguely, like, you would think they would do more with that, you know, or develop that more. Like, that would be more of what was going on.
Yep.
But I don't know.
But it's not, unfortunately. Yeah. Unfortunately not. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff, and we are going to come back to close the show. Right after this.
Oh, I know a lot of people in Cincinnati. Oh, yes. Incidentally, my name is Lieutenant Columbo. I'm from the Los Angeles Police Department.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello everyone, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah, thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film Podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film Podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music, I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
That's obvious. Yeah. Awfully obvious.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. Any final words from you, sir, before I run through the closing?
I don't think so. I think it was a solid, fun episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a really good time. Enjoyed all of Columbo's little interactions with everybody. I didn't mention this earlier, but I liked when Hanlon was yelling at him, when Hanlon was getting just really riled up. I thought that, because again, it's Robert Culp, so it's seeing him act as the character is just really good. That was hilarious. I love when, because Columbo is just like, he's his normal, cheery kind of like, oh, gee, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
He says, I'm always going to be getting you angry.
Yeah, yeah. So, absolutely love that. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. You can buy our stuff, shop.geekcastradio.com. Do that if you would like some GCRN merchandise. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use, Spotify, Apple, etc. We're also on YouTube, so there's that. You can follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio for the network, at it's ITS Studio 2009, all one word for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. Dave doesn't do social media.
Wow.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. And you can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Join us next time when Dave and I will be talking about Columbo Season 2, Episode 4, Dagger of the Mind. For now, I am TFU and Mike with...
I'm Dave Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Columbo, I'm going to throw you out of here on your ear.
I wouldn't do that, sir.